Why I Don't Believe There Ever Was a COVID Virus, by Dr. Mike Yedden. I've grown increasingly frustrated about the way debate is controlled around the topic of origins of the alleged novel virus, SARS-CoV-2, and I have come to disbelieve it's ever been in circulation, causing massive scale illness and death. Concerningly, almost no one will entertain this possibility, despite the fact that molecular biology is the easiest discipline in which to cheat. That's because you really cannot do it without computers, and sequencing requires complex algorithms and, importantly, assumptions. Tweaking algorithms and assumptions, you can hugely alter the conclusions. This raises the question of why there is such an emphasis on a media storm around Forsyth, Wuhan and a possible lab escape. After all, the perpetrators have significant control over the media. There's no independent journalism at present. It is not as though they need to embarrass the establishment. I put it to readers that they've chosen to do so. So who do I mean by they and the perpetrators? There are a number of candidates competing for this position, with their drug company accomplices, several of whom are named in Paula Jadin's excellent five-part series for TCW, Anatomy of the Sinister COVID Project. High on the list is the enabling World Economic Forum and their many political acolytes including Justin Trudeau and Jacinda Ardern. But that doesn't answer the question why are they focusing on the genesis of the virus. In my view, they are doing their darndest to make sure you regard this event exactly as they want you to. Specifically, that there was a novel virus. I'm not alone in believing that myself at the beginning of the pandemic, but over time I've seen sufficient evidence to cast strong doubt on that idea. Additionally, when considered as part of a global coup d'etat, I have put myself in the position of the most senior, hidden perpetrators. In a Q&A, they would learn that the effect of a released novel pathogen couldn't be predicted accurately. It might burn out rapidly. Or it might turn out to be quite a lot more lethal than they'd expected, demolishing advanced civilizations. Those top decision makers would, I submit, conclude that this natural risk is intolerable to them. They crave total control, and the wide range of possible outcomes from a deliberate release militates against this plan of action. No, we're not going to do this. Come back with a plan with very much reduced uncertainty on outcomes. The alternative I think they've used is to add one more lie to the tall stack of lies which has surrounded this entire affair. This lie is that there's ever been in circulation a novel respiratory virus which, crucially, caused massive scale illness and death. In fact, there hasn't. Instead, we have been told there was this frightening, novel pathogen and ramped up the stress-inducing fear porn to 11, and held it there. This fits with cheating about genetic sequences, PCR test protocols, probes, primers, amplification and annealing conditions, cycles, ignoring contaminating genetic materials from not only human and claimed viral sources, but also bacterial and fungal sources. Why, for example, did they need to insert the sampling sticks right into our sinuses? Was it to maximize non-human genetic sequences? Notice the soft evidence that our political and cultural leaders, including the late Queen, were happy to meet and greet one another without testing, masking or social distancing. They had no fear. In the scenario above, a few people would have known there was no new hazard in their environment. If there really was a lethal pathogen stalking the land, I don't believe they'd have had the courage or the need to act nonchalantly and risk exposure to the virus. Most convincingly for me is the US all-cause mortality ACM data by state, sex, age and date of occurrence, as analyzed by Dennis Rancourt and colleagues. The pattern of increased ACM is inconsistent with the presence of a novel respiratory virus as the main cause. If I'm correct that there was no novel virus, what a genius move it was to pretend there was. Now they want you only to consider how this killer virus got into the human population. Was it a natural emergence, you know, a wild bat bit a pangolin and this ended up being sold at a wet market in Wuhan, or was it hubristically created by a Chinese researcher, enabled along the way by a researcher at the University of North Carolina funded by Forsyth, together making an end run around a presidential pause on such work? Then there's the question as to whether the arrival of the virus in the general public was down to carelessness and a lab leak, or did someone deliberately spread it? I also need to point out that the perpetrators have hermetic control of the mass media via big tech and government stranglehold documented in part here, here and here. That's why they found it so easy to censor people like me. If a story appears on multiple TV networks, it's because they're either okay with it or it has been actively planted. It won't be genuine. They never tell the truth. I don't think they told the truth since this coup began and probably much earlier. Most so-called journalists have lost sight of what truth ever was. I believe that the perpetrators, who could be all or any of Gates, Forsyth, Farah, Valence, CEPI, EcoHealth Alliance, DARPA and numerous others, planted the controversy about the origins of SARS-CoV-2 because a little embarrassment of the establishment was a small price to persuade most of us that there surely must be a novel virus when there isn't. And they have got away with it to date. I have colleagues who do not believe what we've been told, that is that a virus has been experimentally constructed, is even possible technologically. I don't have the background to assess that idea. But the rest hangs together for me in a way that no other explanation does. To this point, an ex-pharmaceutical industry executive Sasha Latipova, speaking with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on his podcast of last Thursday, March the 16th, describes the extensive evidence of the contracts and relationships that were in place before the COVID era. Contracts were signed for billions of dollars in February 2020. Not only would the required production never happen from a standing start, to sign such a large commitment is ridiculous, but it cannot be done. She estimated that approximately 1 kilogram of DNA was required. There isn't that much medicinal grade DNA on the planet at any one time. That's because it's hard to do, very expensive, wholly bespoke and difficult to store for long periods. Also, the amounts of any specific DNA sequence required and held in store by commercial suppliers would be milligrams or perhaps grams at a stretch. So it was always completely unfeasible, regardless of how much money was thrown at the problem, to have accomplished what they claimed to have done in a short time. Consequently, no other conclusion is supported by the facts than that it's a huge crime, extensively planned. In itself, that rules out a natural emergence of a pathogen, unless divine providence occurred. Logically, we're left with a leak or, as I argue, a light plus a syrup. The former may or may not be possible, but what isn't arguable is that something like this could be done and would be likely to run smoothly, with a real pathogen. Almost any outcome but the one presumably wanted is likely if a pathogen is released. I can reach no other conclusion than that it's fake. In closing, I'm not saying people weren't sick or that they didn't die in huge numbers. I'm arguing only about the causes of illnesses and deaths. People were made sick and some killed by all the pre-existing causes, amplified by fear, resulting in immunosuppression and then a host of revolting actions. Note even the official overlap of signs and symptoms of COVID-19 and existing illnesses. Notably, they chopped antibiotic prescriptions in the US by 50% during 2020. They ensured large numbers of frail elderly people were mechanically ventilated, a procedure which, in such subjects, is close to contraindicated. Some were administered Vicifer, which is a poison for the kidneys. In care homes, they were given midazolam and morphine, respiratory depressant drugs which in combination are all but contraindicated in patients with breathing difficulties. If used, close monitoring is required, most usually automated alarm systems attached to vital cardiorespiratory monitoring, including fingertip monitoring for blood gases. That didn't happen in care homes. I believe the main reason for the lies about the novel virus is a desire for total predictability and control, with the clearly articulated intention of transforming society, beginning by dismantling the financial system through lockdowns and furlough, while the immediate practical goal of lockdown was to provide the cause's belly for injecting as many people as possible with materials designed not to induce immunity, but to demand repeat inoculation, to cause injury and death, and to control freedom of movement. I'm sure they're pretty content with getting at least one needle into 6 billion people. Note that though an estimated 10-15 million have been killed with poisonous vaccines, these are the but first of many mRNA injections to come. The indications are that ways to force you to accept 10 more have been anticipated, because that's the number of doses your government has agreed to purchase. Purchasing what? Well, it's already been mooted that all existing vaccines are to be formatted as mRNA types. If this happens, I don't believe anyone injected 10 more times is likely to escape death or severe, life-limiting illnesses. Inducing your body to manufacture non-self proteins will axiomatically induce an autoimmune attack by your own body. Your disease will be related to where the injected dose goes and of course the consistency of that injected product. They've been horribly erratic so far. It's not certain they ever could have been made and launched if they had been subject to the usual quality requirements and not granted emergency use authorizations. Of course, as we now know, the regulators played an important role beyond lying for the US military, the organization which made the original orders for vaccines, and set all the contractual conditions for companies such as Moderna and Pfizer. The chickens are coming home to roost right now in the banking system. As I always say, I cannot know much for sure. I don't have a copy of the script of this, the greatest crime in history. But, whatever COVID actually is, I don't believe that what was called influenza disappeared conveniently in early 2020. It's another lie. It's what they do. It's all they do. To those who sense that all is not well but are unwilling to make the psychological leap to the diabolical world I believe we're now living in, I point out the asymmetry of risk. If you follow the official narrative and I'm right, you and your children will lose all your freedoms and probably your lives. If you believe what I'm saying and I'm wrong, you'll be laughed at. These options aren't faintly balanced. A rational actor should cease believing what we're being told. It's not a safe position, keeping your counsel and your head down. It's the most dangerous thing you could do. If you appreciated this article, perhaps you might consider making a donation to The Conservative Woman. Unlike most other websites, we receive no independent funding. Our editors are unpaid and work entirely voluntarily as do the majority of our contributors, but there are inevitable costs associated with running a website. We depend on our readers to help us, either with regular or one-off payments. You can donate here. Thank you. If you have not already signed up to a daily email alert of new articles, please do so. It is here and free. Thank you.